Hello, beautiful soul. Welcome to the Elevate Your Soul podcast. It has been a while and I'm so excited to be back and I'm so excited to talk about today's podcast episode. It is on vulnerable narcissism. Have you heard of it before? Look, a lot of us have heard of narcissism, and usually the way we hear about it is the typical overt, which means like an extroverted, obvious way of narcissism, which is also known as the grandiose narcissist, the guy who you see in movies or what you talk about in society, that person who walks in the room and wants to take all the attention away from everybody and have all eyes on them. They think they're cool as shit, they're cocky as F. Those kind of people. Well, today I'm going to be talking about vulnerable narcissism, which is still a narcissist, but the way they express it is almost the complete opposite. It is a lot less heard of and a lot less known about, and that is why I am making this podcast episode, so that you can perhaps find people in your life who may be toxic and have these toxic traits, or for if you're out there dating in the world, you can spot these little personality traits a little bit earlier, so you have these red flags and these warning signs before you dive into bed with them and dive into a relationship with them, perhaps move in with them, and then find yourself entangled in a relationship with a vulnerable narcissist. So a vulnerable narcissist is the covert type of narcissism, which means it's more introverted, more subtle, more of a secretive, harder to spot type of narcissist. And before I keep complaining and talking about narcissism, I just want to mention that personally, I think people are using the word narcissist way too much these days. I prefer using the term narcissistic personality or narcissistic personality tendencies that someone may have. And I feel like a lot of people are misjudging people as well. Like someone might just be selfish and then they're going to call them a narcissist, whereas they're not a narcissist, they're just selfish. And a narcissist is so much more than just someone who is selfish. I feel like a lot of people who break up in relationships as well are throwing that word around to their ex-partner to make themselves feel better about themselves or better about the breakup, especially if they were the one to be dumped. So I just want to put that out there first, that I would say really study and figure out what the word actually means before you're using it a bunch and just throwing it around. So the vulnerable type of narcissism is the covert type, as I just mentioned. And the covert type, because it's more subtle and hard to see and notice, especially at first, a lot of people say it's the more dangerous type of narcissism because it isn't like something you can spot in 30 seconds or 5 minutes after talking to someone who is an overt type of narcissist, because you can spot that a lot more easy. So they say it's a little bit more dangerous as well because other people around you don't realize it as much either. So if you get into a relationship with a covert type of narcissist, it's really hard as well, because once you might start realizing that they have these narcissistic tendencies, first of all, you may not know they're a narcissist because the covert type is less heard of, it's less known about, especially the vulnerable type, which is a category underneath covert narcissism. And so you might even question, what is going on here? I don't know. And then if you do perhaps learn about it and find out you are dating someone with that, everyone else around you tends to not notice and not know about that. They may see that person as a very caring, loving, awesome person. Whereas the overt type of narcissist, the one you classically hear about, see in movies, the one that most of us know of a narcissist to be, is so much more obvious. So if you're dating one in a relationship with one, when you finally break up, all your friends are like, oh my God, finally you broke up with that horrible person. Like, we knew they were toxic all along. So I made a list of the differences that you see in a vulnerable narcissist specifically, and the grandiose narcissist, which is the overt type, the one we all really tend to know about. So number one, the difference would be a overt narcissist will talk highly about themselves, whereas a vulnerable narcissist will talk badly about themselves. Yes, you heard me right. They will put themselves down. Number two would be they help you in order to get something in return, whereas a vulnerable narcissist will purely help you just so that you think better of themselves because they're so highly obsessed with what other people think about them. A overt narcissist may admit to fault, but will blame you for it, whereas a vulnerable type will never admit to fault. The overt will be more carefree. The covert will be more neurotic, especially about minor things. We're like, why are you so worried about this? The overt type of narcissism is more common in men in our society today, and the vulnerable narcissist is actually more common in women in our society today. The overt will care less about what others think, whereas the covert, and by covert I mean the vulnerable narcissist, will be highly, highly sensitive to what other people think about them. The overt will hang out with people out of their league. They love hanging out with people who are more successful than them, are better looking than them, because it's their way of trying to make themselves look cooler. Like, hey, I'm hanging out with these people are my friends. So that's a way to make others think more highly of them. Whereas a vulnerable narcissist will hang out with people who are a lot less intimidating to their ego. So usually people who are a lot less quote unquote successful than them, people who aren't as good looking as them, may not be as fit as them, not as earn as much money, etc., because they don't like feeling intimidated because they have a very fragile ego, as all narcissists do. A overt narcissist will not as much, but can still have some anxiety and depression, whereas it is so extremely common that a vulnerable narcissist will suffer a lot with anxiety and depression and loneliness. A overt narcissist will tell you what you can and can't do. They will make it really obvious that they are trying to control you, whereas a vulnerable narcissist will make subtle manipulation tactics to get you to do what they want, to hang out with who they want you to or who they don't want you to hang out with. And they do that by putting others down and planting seeds in your head. Whether they're jealous of someone or they see someone as a threat, they will manipulate you to try to not hang out with that person anymore. A overt narcissist doesn't mind being seen as the villain as long as you're the one to blame for it, whereas a vulnerable narcissist will only ever play the victim and uses your reaction when they keep gaslighting you to make you out as the villain, to make you look like the crazy one and reinforce that you are the crazy one and you're the one with a problem, not them. An overt narcissist will be much more extroverted and have an extroverted personality. A vulnerable narcissist tends to be a lot more introverted and have a shy personality. The overt will obviously seek out attention and validation from people, whereas the vulnerable will discreetly seek out attention and validation from others. The overt will control you by seeming strong and powerful. That's their tactic. Whereas a vulnerable narcissist will control you by trying to make you feel sorry for them, which is also known as a victim control dynamic when you're in a relationship with one. The overt narcissist will be blatantly aggressive, really obvious, don't care showing their aggression in public in front of other people, and will usually be aggressive quite often, like from the start, whereas a vulnerable narcissist, they will suppress and push their anger and aggression as late as they can from you being in a relationship with them or you knowing them, and they're a lot more subtle about their aggression as well, often starting with passive aggressiveness, and to be honest, just frequently, it'll continue forever, very, very passive aggressive. They can go into moments of rage as well, though, so that's something to look out for, but usually that doesn't show up until much later in the path of you knowing them. So those are the overt and the covert different types of ways of expressing narcissism, which I find fascinating because it is completely different from one another. I want to go over now the similarities between your classic grandiose overt narcissist versus your covert vulnerable narcissist. So number one would be they both have a sense of entitlement and importance over others. Number two, they fantasize of success or power or intelligence or beauty or ideal love, aka an ideal relationship and how it should be. Number three, their needs and their feelings are all that truly matter. Number four, lack of empathy and how their behaviors and words affect others. My best example is when you're in a group of people, you might be going out for dinner, say for example, one person starts feeling nervous about something and while they're speaking, they go bright red in the face. A narcissist will be that person who's like, oh my God, you're turning bright red in the face. Oh my God, why are you turning so red? And then that'll make that person more embarrassed and then they'll turn even more red and then they'll be like, oh my God, you're turning even more red. Oh my gosh. And they just think it's funny or something, whether it's to put that person down and feel better about themselves or just to have a laugh because they are lacking completely the empathy of how that other person feels right now. Both of them are very hypocritical. That's number five. Number six is they require excessive admiration or validation from other people. And it is never, ever enough for a narcissist. Number seven, they're often envious or jealous of other people, whether they show it or not. Number eight is they are both self-absorbed in their own needs or their own feelings and emotions or their looks. Any one of those, they're just always obsessed about themselves. The way they look, the way people think about them, their emotions, their feelings, it's always about them. Number nine, they both have a very fragile self-esteem, and they both actually, all of their personality traits stem from low self-confidence. Number 10 is they lash out in anger or rage when they're feeling critiqued or challenged. Now, with a vulnerable narcissist, as I said, this usually doesn't appear in the beginning when knowing them. It can take up to a year of knowing a vulnerable narcissist until they'll really show their true suppressed emotion and their rage and anger towards you, especially when they feel critiqued or challenged. And I use that word feel very carefully because it doesn't mean that they're actually being critiqued or actually being challenged. It's when they feel that way, they will lash out, whether you're intentionally challenging or critiquing them or not. Number 11 is they gaslight people, especially the ones that are close to them, to get what they want, and they always love redirecting the blame. They never want to take the blame. Number 12, you end up never feeling good enough for them as a partner. And this goes for people who are close with a narcissist. So definitely in terms of a romantic relationship, but I feel this can also be present in family members as well. You're never good enough, whether it's the way you look isn't good enough. You know, you need to gain more weight, lose more weight, be more fit, whatever the case may be. You don't care enough about them, supposedly. You don't love them enough. You don't give them enough affection. You don't give them enough sex, etc. You'll never feel enough. And it never is enough, no matter how much you give a narcissist. It's still never enough. They're never satisfied. Number 13, they have built up aggression. Number 14, they will disrespect your boundaries. Like a narcissist cannot respect someone's boundaries. That is just something you need to face. Whether you know someone, you're close to them, and you're a family member with them, or you're in a relationship with one, you have to accept that a narcissist cannot respect other people's boundaries. Key takeaway here, narcissists can't self-reflect. They can only project and deflect. Now I want to go over the characteristics of specifically a vulnerable narcissist. And the first few characteristics I'm going to list here are characteristics that you can actually spot as just being a friend or having a vulnerable narcissist in your life. Number one would be putting themselves down. They speak poorly about themselves, they put themselves down, and that's their way of seeking validation from other people. Number two is they are very helpful. Yes, you heard me right. They're very giving, care. They seem caring, they seem like people pleasers, but It's all an attempt to make people think better of themselves. And the higher your status, like if you're someone who has a lot of friends and talks a lot, you're the type of person they're going to want to please even more. You're the type of person they're going to want to do favors for even more because they know you're going to talk to other people and tell other people about it, which gives more people a better view of themselves, which they love. Number three would be they deal with anxiety or depression or loneliness very often. Number four would be they put others down who appear to be better than them. Now, this one can only be seen sometimes if you're really close to that person or in a relationship with them. It is a lot less seen if you're just a friend with them, but sometimes it can happen. Number five would be they tend to be very introverted and shy. And number six is they don't want to ever show signs of jealousy or envy towards anyone else. Now for the heavy shit. Characteristics you realize in a vulnerable narcissist when you are close with them, whether it's a partner or a family member, once you have trauma bonded with them, you will see these characteristics in a vulnerable narcissist. And these characteristics are often very well hidden and disguised and not seen by anyone else in their lives, including friends, neighbors, sometimes even family members. This is something sometimes that only a vulnerable narcissist lover will see these characteristics and these sides of them. Number one, plays dumb or forgetful to avoid blame. For example, oh, hey, you crossed my boundary again. I've told you about this 84 times. Why does it keep happening? Aw, I forgot. Aw, what? Aw, I thought you meant, aw, I didn't know. I didn't know what you meant. Classic. Number two, will gaslight you to make you out as being in the wrong. Gaslighting. We love that. So toxic. Always makes you feel crazy. Number three, neurotic about what others think of them or how others may perceive them. Great example. Hey, you made this post, or hey, you didn't make this post. That might mean that these people think this about me and our relationship. Therefore, I need you to make this post so that people can think this about us or me. Or, hey, I didn't like this post. They may perceive it in this way about me or our relationship. Therefore, I want you to take it down. Constantly neurotic about what other people think of them or how they may be perceived by other people. And this goes as far as random people on the side of the street. Number four, never take responsibility or accountability. Never takes responsibility or accountability. If you get a vulnerable narcissist to say sorry, do not think that they are healed or they are not a vulnerable narcissist. It might happen as a blue moon, as a one-off, to just get you to do what they want or to take that little moment of blame, but they don't actually feel sorry for it. In their heads, they don't actually think they did anything wrong. Careful, but more often than not, a vulnerable narcissist will never ever want to take responsibility or accountability for anything they do. Number five, frequently manipulate you to get what they want. Manipulation, another good one, another one that makes you feel crazy if you're really close to someone like that. Number six, always wanting an apology, which is a great manipulation tactic and power play that a vulnerable narcissist does to make you out as the villain, because they love playing victim. They love this victim control dynamic. But in order to be a victim, someone's got to be the villain. Guess what? 99% of the time it's you. So, hey, I need an apology for that. No, I need an apology for that. I'm not going to talk to you till you apologize. Whatever sort of threat, you know, I'm not going to blank or I will blank unless you apologize. What happens when you apologize? They feel powerful. They feel like they're winning. They feel like they are a victim, and it reinforces that you are the one that's doing something wrong. Number seven, obsessed with being the vulnerable victim. Super vulnerable. They will go as far as faking a panic attack to make themselves out as the victim. For an example, a vulnerable narcissist could cheat on you. You hit them up about it. Next minute, they're having a panic attack and crying, and somehow something's your fault and you feel horrible now. Great manipulating, gaslighting tactics to make you feel sorry for them. In saying that, a vulnerable narcissist will love finding a partner who shows signs of empathy and lots of it. Whether it's a man looking for a woman who's very motherly and very nurturing, or a female that is looking for a guy who's very caring and has that natural, kind of that manly, I'll take care of it type of personality. Number 8 is they'll always tell you to stop arguing, even though they're the ones who created the argument, because narcissists love creating arguments. More often than not, they love drama because they feel like it bonds you two together. So they almost feel closer with you because they're like, great, I got her crying. I have like this impact on her. That means we're so close and that means she loves me. Or great, I got her screaming and throwing things. That's great. That means that I can really get under her skin, which means we're really close and she really loves me, right? The psychology behind it. So more often than not, they'll start an argument and then you'll be having a conversation with them, and it might not even be an argument, it'll be a discussion. And then if you're stating facts, or if in any way you're kind of quote unquote winning, they'll be like, oh my God, shut up. I just want to stop arguing. Just stop. Even if it's something they've done and you're like, oh, like it was really shitty that you did this. They'll be like, just stop. Just shut up. I just don't want to argue. Like they make it out like they're the one in the relationship who doesn't want to argue. They're doing that. They're making you shut up because they don't want to take any responsibility or accountability for what they've done. Number 9 is subtle smugness. Oh, so this is a great one. It usually comes out as well later on in the relationship, the more you get to know a vulnerable narcissist. So it starts off with the whole pity parties, talking down about themselves. I'm not good enough. Yeah, you are good enough. Yeah. Quote unquote, here you're getting validation now because you're talking bad about yourself. And then after a long period of getting to know them, you realize signs of subtle smugness. Like, oh, that person's only earning this much money with their business. But if I created a business like that, I could be earning this much money. I would be so much more successful if I did this. My job needs me. I hold my whole company together. They need me. I'm so good at what I do. I'm so good at my, you know, whether it's fitness or the way they look or a skill they have or whatever the case may be, material objects that they own. It's like this subtle way. Whereas the over grandiose narcissist will be a lot more obvious. They'll just straight up be like, yeah, I'm the best person in the world. Yeah, like I'm the best lover ever you'll ever have. Whereas a vulnerable narcissist will be a lot more subtle about things like that and comments like that. Number 10 would be they are constantly wanting to be rescued, even if it's from you or themselves, which I think is hilarious. So a vulnerable narcissist will always want to play the victim, be the vulnerable one, even if they're completely in the wrong. And they love this sense of feeling rescued. It's like their way of feeling completely loved and taken care of. And it's funny because, as I said, if they have nothing to like feel they need to be rescued from, they will create a scenario themselves or a drama themselves to make you rescue them from you. Like they'll make something out that you did wrong and then be like, oh my God, I need like help. I need you to like save me because you did something. Classic, you're the villain. Or if they're really creative and they really can't find anything else and you're just like sick of it and you're placing boundaries and you're calling them out on their shit, they will make you rescue them from themselves. So they'll just randomly start like having anxiety attack and being like, oh my God, I need you to save me. Because I remembered something 6 months ago that you did or someone did or that happened to me, and now I'm freaking out. So it's like at any moment of time, you can be having a great day together, and then out of nowhere, it's like, oh, they feel like being rescued. Gotta be there for them. They've created some scenario in their head. They had a bad memory. Gotta make it all about them right now. Number 11, asking what they already know, the answer will be no to, which is a great way of guilt tripping you. Oh my gosh, manipulating, gaslighting, guilt tripping, all the things we love that'll make you feel like you're a psycho in a relationship. So for an example, you'll say, hey, I really need my own space for the next couple of days. I've got a lot of work on, or I just simply want a lot of like me time or time to spend with my family or my friends. And then they'll ask you on that day, like, so are we having dinner tonight? So are we sleeping together tonight? So am I going to see you later? And you're like, I just explained why it's really important that I spend some time to myself or see other people, whatever the case may be. And they want you to repeat the fact that you're not going to spend time with them. And then they'll give you like puppy eyes or whatever the case may be to make you feel guilty and to make them feel like a vulnerable little victim. And like, boo hoo me? Why don't you want to spend time with me? What's wrong with me? And then what do you do as an empathetic lover? Give them more validation. Give them more reassurance. It is so exhausting because it's never enough. Even if you do it all the time, every single day, it is never enough. And that is so taxing on your mental and emotional health to constantly be the source of validation and reassurance for someone who, in a healthy relationship, you should know that your partner is choosing you every single day. You should know that your partner loves you and cares about you. That should be a given. Number 12 is they will constantly cross your boundaries. As I said, a narcissist cannot respect your boundaries. And they will find any excuse. Oh, I forgot. But you, whatever. Number 13, they want you to feel sorry for them all of the time. Or whom they seek validation from. So usually it is their partner. They want validation from you, reassurance all the time. Occasionally, say for example, you're away out of town on a work trip, visiting family, friends, whatever the case may be, and you're not available, you're unavailable for a while, they will find someone else in their life they want validation from, and they will make them feel sorry for them. That's the way of seeking their validation, right? So for example, you're their partner. They constantly want validation, reassurance from you. It's never enough. So you're busy for a while. And then they're like, oh my God, I need a moment where I need to feel validation. So they'll start talking to a friend and be like, oh, how are you? And they'll be like, good, how are you? And they'll be like, oh, you know, I'm having a really bad day, actually. And then that friend will be like, oh no, like, why are you having a bad day? Da, 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 da. And they might say things like, oh, I'm having a bad day because, like, I feel really bad about this and it makes me feel not good enough. And then that friend will be like, oh no, you are good enough. It's okay. Da, 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 da. Do you want me to do something for you? Or just feeding them compliments. It's their way of fishing compliments, fishing for validation and reassurance. Gross. So now, after going over all of that, I made a few notes on what it feels like as the person dating a vulnerable narcissist. Number one, you will lose your sense of self. From all of the gaslighting, all of the manipulation, all of the guilt tripping, they will make you constantly question yourself. And they'll start with little things like, haha, you're such a bad judge of character. I knew this person had bad intentions. You couldn't even see it. You know, like, haha, I knew this girlfriend was selfish. And haha, I knew this guy wanted to sleep with you. Oh my gosh, you're such a bad judge of character. Like, how did you not see this? Like, I'm so good at reading people and you're not. And then they can use that to start insulting your friends. The friends that they're intimidated by or they don't want you to hang out with. Right? To manipulate and control you of who you can and can't hang out with. As I said, it's a lot more subtle than an overt narcissist who will just straight up be like, don't want you hanging out with her, don't want you hanging out with him, so be it. Vulnerable narcissist, very different tactics. And then when you try to defend it, like, oh no, but this friend, like, blah, 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 then they'll be like,
yeah, but we both know how shit you are at judging people, so actually you should trust me because I'm better at judging people. Like, I'm actually better at figuring out what people's intentions are and you're not, based on previous experience. So you're constantly being like, oh, wait, am I bad at judging people? Like, do I have a hard time at reading other people's intentions? You're constantly questioning yourself. You're losing trust in who you are, what your capabilities are, your own intuition. Number two is a drop in self-esteem. From all of the little snarky comments that a vulnerable narcissist will make. Oh, ha ha, didn't you realize that? Oh, ha ha, oh my gosh, how did you not see that? Oh, ha ha, how did you blah, 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 blah. Constantly little snarky comments to degrade your own intelligence, your own intuition, your own feel for things, your own feelings even. Frequently joking and debating about your own intelligence, challenging your intuition, questioning your self-trust because they lack so much trust. They're like, how can you trust? How can you trust this person? How can you trust yourself? You're like, I just do. But they're projecting because they're like, they have no trust. So they're like, no, you can't trust. And they'll try to like put their own toxic characteristic traits on you and make you think and behave the same way as them. Number three is your loss in trust. A lot of the time, narcissists are liars, or they have a hard time being transparent and honest, even if it's just simple everyday shit. And then you're like, oh my gosh, if you can't be honest with me about something so small, how can I trust you to be honest with me about something big if something big happens one day? You'll end up losing trust in yourself because they make you feel so insecure by questioning everything you do and expect you to do everything the same way as them or everything the way they want you to. Whether it's from all the gaslighting or the manipulation or the guilt trips. And they'll have you second guessing everything you do. Everything. So of course you're going to lose trust in yourself. Can you imagine from just the last three things I've mentioned, loss of your sense of self, drop in self-esteem, and your loss in trust in yourself? Can you imagine how crazy and different you'd feel as a person after being in a relationship with someone for a long period of time like this? But the list keeps going. Number four, you are now a caregiver. You are a caregiver for this vulnerable narcissist. You thought you were getting into a relationship and you were just going to be a partner, but no, you are now a caregiver. And you are their main source of happiness, which seems nice at first, but in the end, is extremely taxing and extremely exhausting. Because as a caregiver, you're the one having to do the caring, so your feelings don't really matter. In fact, nothing really matters other than their feelings. Your feelings, out the window. Who cares? Let's prioritize here. It's their feelings. It's the way they feel. It's the way they see things. That's what's important. And trust me, honey, if you're in a relationship with a vulnerable narcissist, facts don't matter anymore. The reality doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is how they feel and how they want you to perceive how they feel and how something went and how an event didn't actually go, actually, just how an event made them feel. So when you start talking facts, they're like, shh, shh, shh. Let's talk about how I feel. I don't care what I actually did or how you actually feel, how it made you feel. What matters is how I feel now that you're trying to bring this up with me or that you're trying to confront me of my own shitty behavior. No, 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 no. What matters is how I feel about this. Let's talk about how I feel right now. Because when you talk facts, ooh, you might actually win. You might actually win an argument. They might actually need to take responsibility then. So no, 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 no chance of that. Let's not talk about facts and what actually happened. Let's talk about just their emotions because you're their caregiver. A quick message to anyone who thinks they might be in a relationship with a vulnerable narcissist this far into this podcast episode.
chances are you probably are. And I have something I want to tell you, and actually this goes for anyone, dating a vulnerable narcissist or not. It is not your responsibility to make someone who feels shitty about themselves feel good about themselves. Okay, that's across the board for anyone. It is not your responsibility for someone who hates themselves to make them love themselves, to make them feel happy and pleasure all of the time because they hate themselves so much, because they feel shitty about themselves, because they lack self-esteem. Number 5, what it feels like to date a narcissist. You could have started out as the more confident one in the start of the relationship, and now it seems to be the other way around instead. Because you have to be below them so that they can feel better about themselves. See, this is the thing. Getting in a relationship with a narcissist, it doesn't mean that they're going after people that they think are easy to manipulate, or this poor little woohoo boohoo girl in the corner that they're like, yeah, I can use my power and strength to like get this person, especially with a vulnerable narcissist. If they can get into a relationship with someone who's very strong and confident, and then they can be above them, that is so much more of an achievement than getting with in a relationship with someone who's kind of a lowlife. Because then you're like, well, I know I'm better than them, obviously, like I'm doing better in my career or whatnot. So it's actually more of a reward for a vulnerable narcissist to try to get in a relationship with someone who they see has more power or more confidence or more whatever of what they want than them. Because if they can bring them in close enough and then use their little tactics, whether it's subconscious or conscious, to make that person feel like shit and then make you feel better than them, holy shit, that's a great achievement. And what sort of self-esteem do you have now walking around? Or this fake self-esteem, right? It's probably not even real. It's probably not even yours. You're borrowing it from the other person because you're constantly trying to make them feel guilt or shame. And that's their way of trying to gain control, this victim control dynamic. Of course, the other partner is going to feel like shit all the time. And then boom, you're on top. They're on top. They feel better now. Number 6, it is never enough. It is never enough when you date a narcissist. Whether it's your time, you're not giving them enough time, you're not giving them enough attention, you're not giving them enough sex, affection, whatever the case may be, and it will never be enough. Do not date a narcissist and be like, well, I can change them by just giving them all of my time or just by having sex with them 4 times a day. No, it's never enough. You know, it's like trying to make someone not cheat by throwing your body at them all the time. No, if that person wants to cheat and they're a cheater, they're still going to cheat. And never feeling good enough is such a shit feeling and such a huge burden to carry. And for anyone who's listening to this right now, if you have anyone in your life who you don't feel good enough for and you never feel good enough for, that is a huge burden. That is a shit fucking feeling to have, especially when you love that person and that person claims to love and care about you back. That is horrible. If you have that, please get out. Please end that relationship or that friendship, or please find a way to manage it so you no longer feel that way. See it for what it is. Maybe that person wants you to feel that way so that they can, so that you can. But it is not okay. It is not a good emotion to carry with you. You should not have to accept that. And I want to tell you right now, you are enough. For anyone listening to this, you are enough for the right person. So if you're in a relationship with someone right now that never makes you feel good enough, please just leave. You are enough. You are good enough
for the right person. There is a better match out there. There is someone who you are enough for, who you can make feel loved and strong and confident and happy. And you don't need to change a million things about you to do that. You don't need to give up your life. You don't need to give up all of your time in order to feel that way, in order to make someone happy, in order to make someone feel good, in order to feel good enough for someone else.
Final notes I want to say to end this podcast. A vulnerable narcissist will use the victim control dynamic to control you and get whatever they want, using guilt, blame, and shame. If you think you're in a relationship with one, please ask yourself, are you okay with being in an unhealthy relationship? Are you okay with being in a relationship with someone who will always paint you out in a bad light? Because you need a villain in order to play victim. Are you okay with losing your sense of self and losing your self-confidence and self-esteem? Are you okay with dating someone who lacks extreme empathy for you? And most importantly, do you accept that this person will never change? Because let me tell you, it is your faith that this person's going to change one day, or that you can teach them empathy, or you can punish them enough to make them learn what isn't okay anymore or how it feels. They'll never change. And you need to accept that, because your faith for that person that might change, which they won't, that's what's causing you all of the pain. That's what's causing you all of the suffering. Why would you ruin your own mental health over something you have no control about? You're wasting your time. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your precious energy. It's time to accept that person's not going to change. And even if that 0.1% chance they do change, don't wait for it. You can still leave and walk away. And if they change, they'll come back. If it's meant to be, it'll be. They'll come back. You'll go back, whatever. But my advice is get out. Because you deserve to feel amazing. We got one life and we don't have time to be in a relationship with someone where you have so many problems and where you feel shit or lack of or guilty or blamed for all of the time. Number two, a vulnerable narcissist will make a great neighbor, a fantastic work colleague, a good caring friend, a fun buddy at the gym to work out with, because you will not see these signs, these characteristics and behaviors and manipulation tactics and everything I mentioned. You're not going to notice that if you're just friends with them. You're only going to see that once you're trauma bonded with them. And usually that requires a romantic relationship. So please do not judge other people who feel abused or mistreated by their partner and you're looking at it from the outside and you do not understand. Do not judge. You do not know who is a vulnerable narcissist until you are in a relationship with one. And if you know of someone who's in an abusive or a toxic relationship, please don't judge, because it is never as simple as just leaving. Why don't you just leave? Why don't you just end it? Because you don't know what's going on from the outside. Every relationship dynamic is so complex and so different. And a lot of times, why the person hasn't left yet is because they're waiting for that person to change, or they're holding on to the memories of who that person first was at the start of their relationship. Because most toxic and shitty relationships don't start off shitty and toxic. They actually start off quite nice. They actually have a honeymoon phase or some kind of phase that went really well. And the reason oftentimes why that person doesn't leave is because they have faith, or they're waiting for it to go back to that. They're holding on to the version of who that person was at the start of their relationship. And I'm not saying that's an excuse to stay. That is not a reason to stay in a relationship. Honey, they're not going to change. Get the fuck out. But it's important not to judge from the outside when other people are in a toxic relationship, because there could be a safety issue why that person isn't leaving the relationship. There could be threats that the other partner is giving them if they leave, whether it's to ruin their career or their reputation. There could be financial issues involved. There could be family involved, or that person could have no family. So do not judge. Do not say, oh, just leave. Oh, why don't you just leave? Oh, it seems so simple. Because you don't know the circumstances when you're looking from a relationship from the outside. Until you're in that relationship, you don't know what that person's going through. Or you don't know why they're choosing what they're choosing. And last but not least, the saddest part is that if you've been in a relationship with a vulnerable narcissist for a long period of time, the amount of abuse and mental and psychological manipulation tactics and gaslighting and guilt tripping that that person has received can often make that person think that they can't do better, because they see themselves as worse. They see themselves as small, and they see this person who they dated, especially with a vulnerable narcissist, they started off as so shy and quiet, and, you know, they talk bad about themselves. And as an empathetic person, you just wanted them to feel good about themselves. And you thought, hey, I can make this person feel really good. I can show them all these wonderful things. And the next minute, they seem to be excelling. They seem to be so confident, almost to the point where they're arrogant. They seem to be doing really fine, and you're the broken one. You become quieter. You become more reserved. And after a long period of time, yeah, you might feel like you're the one that's punching now, that you can't do better. This is all you deserve, because that's maybe what someone's brainwashed you to think. So please don't judge other people from the outside. I'm not saying any of these reasons are an excuse to stay in an abusive or toxic relationship. They're not. Whatever your circumstances are, whatever the reason is that you can't leave right now, please work on resolving that so you can get out. Ooh-wee. What an episode. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. If you feel like this episode was interesting, useful, could be valuable to anyone, please screenshot it or copy and send the link to someone who you think could benefit from listening to this episode. If you haven't already rated my podcast as well, it would be super helpful, and I would appreciate it so much if you could give it a 5-star rating and write a little review. That would mean the world to me. I hope you guys have an amazing day, an amazing week ahead of you. Stay happy. Stay free and focus on peace and love, because you deserve that. And we all deserve that. Mwah.